I shook my head and stared at the woman in the processing photo. If you had asked me yesterday, I would have said no. But now, after seeing this,
guess that explains the little shindig at her place tonight, Adam said as he inspected the photo. Dead ringer, if you ask me.
Her mother is a vampire and was arrested in the raid on Raven. I reeled back as though a board had smacked me in the face. That's why she hates me. I'm the one who told the SPA about the Vampire Council. I'm the reason that raid ever happened. No one argued with me. Adam and Evangeline stared at one another, not blinking. No wonder she wants to ruin my life. She thinks I'm the one responsible for her mother getting arrested and trucked off to some SPA prison.
Surely if her daughter served on the council, she could wiggle out of it, Evangeline said.
Not if she doesn't want anyone to know who her mother is. Right now, everyone thinks her mother's name is Marla. No one knows the truth. Another jolt of recognition hit me. I stared down at the picture. I flipped it over. There, in big black letters, Sasha Pringle? My heart sank to the bottom of my stomach. No one, except Harvey. Chapter 22. Frantic pounding on the manor's front door ripped me from a deep sleep. Boots sat up in bed, his ears tilted forward, on full alert. What in the other world? I mumbled sleepily to myself. Boots growled, and I sat up beside him, my eyes working overtime to adjust to the darkness. What is it, Boots? I looked over at the glowing clock on my bedside table. It was past midnight. A thump sounded as Boots jumped to the floor. I jumped from the bed, slid my feet into my waiting pair of slippers, and grabbed the robe off the top of my dresser on my way to the door. It was open a crack, and Boots pushed it open wider as he left. In the hall, he let out another low growl. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. More pounding, louder this time. I craned around to look up the darkened staircase. I wanted Adam at my side, but I also didn't want whoever was at the door to wake up the entire household, especially if it was Nick with more questions. I didn't want to start that conversation all over again. Boots was at my feet when I pulled the door open. I straightened, surprised, when I realized it was Ben. In the yellow glow of the porch lights, his face looked sallow. His brow was covered in sweat, as though he'd run several miles.
Ollie, I saw you tonight. You have to help me.
What's wrong, Ben? I tightened the sash on my robe against the chill pouring in through the front door. Boots brushed past my leg and planted himself between me and Ben. I glanced down at him and saw he was glaring up at Ben. I nudged him with my foot. He wasn't a huge fan of strangers, especially not ones who had anything to do with dogs or large predatory animals. The fact that he'd accepted Adam was nothing short of a miracle.
Listen, I don't know what exactly you've gotten yourself into, but as someone who's been around the so-called Vampire Council, I would advise you to run fast and run far.
Ben's face shifted. He lunged forward and caught me by the shoulders.
You have to help me. Holly, I barely got away from her.
Boots hissed and took a swipe at Ben.
Get Adam. Boots, go get Adam.
Ben, please, let me go, I said. Boots reluctantly backed up, turned, and bolted for the stairs.
She's a killer, Holly.
I tried to take a step back, but Ben's grip on my shoulders only tightened.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ben. Please, just let me go. We can talk. I promise I'll listen to anything you have to say.
Ben's eyes flashed, suddenly glowing like red-hot embers in a campfire. His head twisted to the side so violently I almost expected to hear a snap. I sucked in a quick breath, and then dared to look away to see what had so captured his attention. My heart stopped cold. No, it couldn't be. Nick was across the street. He was stopped at the corner of the neighborhood,
his hands stuffed inside the pockets of his thick winter jacket. Ben snarled and released me with a violent shove. I heard fabric tear. Ben lunged down the sidewalk, loping like a half-beast. I glanced down at myself. The shoulders of my robe had been torn to shreds. His fingers had turned into claws. Claws that carried the dark and twisted wear curse.
Nick! Run!
I screamed. The boom of my voice bounced off the dark outlines of the neighboring houses and returned to me. My pulse skittered into a frantic rhythm, and for a moment I thought it might explode from my chest.
Nick! Run!
Nick turned and ran, but Ben was closing the distance, moving too quickly. Nick was in good shape, but wouldn't be able to outpace him. I surged forward, hands raised as magic sprang to my fingertips. With a cry, the spell ripped from me and surged toward Ben, a stream of red and blue sparks. The spell hit him, and he lurched to one side. Ben scrambled to get back on two legs and then tore off again.
Ben, stop this!
If he heard me, it didn't faze him. He got his feet under him and plowed forward. I tried another stunning spell. It missed.
Holly?
Evangeline's voice cut through the pounding of my pulse in my ears. I whipped around and saw her on the manor's front steps. She had her wand raised. A light coming from the tip filled the yard.
What in the other world is going on?
Boots streaked past her legs. A huge black dog followed. Adam looked up at me, his eyes even darker in his beast form.
Ben, he's after Nick.
Adam launched himself from the porch, his huge toenails sending chunks of wood flying. Posey was going to kill us all. Adam tore into the night, boots on his heels. Evangeline jumped down the steps and we raced after them. With the help of the powerful beam of light from Evangeline's wand, I could see all the way down the steep hill that led from the center of town up to the bluff where the manor and neighboring houses stood. Adam and Boots were gaining on Ben as he loped around the corner where the residential sidewalk stopped and the main strip through town started. Where was Nick? For once, I envied Lacey. She had supernatural speed and could have covered the distance in a split second. As it was, I couldn't seem to make my feet move fast enough. Of course, it didn't help that I was wearing bedroom slippers from last Christmas that were a size too large.
What did he want with Nick?
Evangeline panted as we ran into town.
I don't think it was personal.
My heart raced all the more as I remembered the way his eyes had glowed and how quickly his head had snapped around when he'd scented Nick.
He's changing into a wolf.
Evangeline didn't ask anything else, but her pace quickened. We rounded the corner and slammed to a stop. Both of our heads swiveled frantically, but there was no sign of any of them. I hoped that meant Adam and Boots had caught up with Ben before he got to Nick. My hope shattered when a horrifying scream sounded from a bit further ahead. The sound echoed and clanged in my ears. My legs, quivering and weak, kicked back into motion. I skittered around the corner of the alley and peered into the darkness. Without thinking, I threw my hand into the darkness and sent a shower of sparks overhead in a wide arc. It was just enough light to make sense of the scene before me. Nick was pinned, his back flattened against a wall, a dark figure towering over him. Ben. My mouth opened, ready to hurl a powerful spell, but it was a sliver of a second too late. Ben's clawed, half-paw, half-human hand came down with a powerful swipe. Nick cried out and tried to push Ben off of him, but Ben didn't so much as flinch. I couldn't tear my eyes away from the wound on Nick's chest. Time froze, a snapshot of terror and dread, before Nick bellowed again, furious and in pain. The sound jarred me from the paralysis that gripped me, and my vision tunneled. The buildings on either side of the alley blurred, and all I could see was Nick and the half-beast pinning him. The spell shot from my mouth like a cannonball and blasted into Ben. He roared, the sound primal and dangerous. Every hair on my arms and neck rose in response to the eerie sound. Ben faltered, stumbling back, but didn't fall completely to the ground. Nick scrambled back as the ring of lights started to fade. I hurried to shoot up a new flurry of lights, higher this time, to signal for help, and then barreled forward to catch Nick as he swayed in place. Nick! My eyes swept over him frantically. The pain was evident on his face. The wounds were deep, and blood pooled on the front of his shirt. We have to get you out of here. Holly! Nick! Evangeline caught up to me, and her wand drenched the alley in light. I turned and saw Ben, crouched on all fours along the opposite wall. His low growl filled the alley and vibrated through me. I raised my hand, ready to strike him again, but stopped when I realized he wasn't looking in our direction. He was distracted. His body was morphing and changing before my eyes. From the look on his face, pained and tight, it wasn't pleasant. Good. Is he okay? What happened? Evangeline asked, her voice laced with panic. I ignored her long enough to set a protective ward around Nick. Nick, stay right here. You're safe. No matter what you see, you're protected. You have to trust me. Don't move. I'm going to get help. He nodded, but then his head lolled back against the brick wall. His chest was rising and falling too fast. Nick, breathe, I said, keeping my voice soft. It's going to be all right. Nick moaned, and a fresh stab of pain bit into me. I looked at Evangeline. Ben, I paused and sucked in a gulp of air. Ben got him. Evangeline's eyes went wide. Her mouth opened and closed, then opened again, although she couldn't get anything out. She pressed her hand against her mouth and shook her head. No, she mumbled through her fingers. No, no. There's a protective ward around Nick. When I get Ben out of here, break the ward and get Nick to the manor, I told Evangeline out of the corner of my mouth. I couldn't risk taking my eyes off the wolf for even a second. Across the alley, Ben lifted his strange face, his nose transforming into a long, full muzzle, and dark fur sprouted from everywhere. It was like watching plants grow on some kind of time-lapse video. It happened all at once. 1 minute, pale skin. The next, dark fur covering every inch. His yellow eyes were no longer glowing, but looked just as deadly as they had on the porch. Holly, no! Evangeline protested, stooping down to tend to Nick. You can't ask that of me. You have to, I said firmly. I can't have anything else happen to Nick. Promise me, Evangeline. Promise me you'll get him out of here. I shifted, positioning myself to spring up and make a run for it. I didn't have a specific plan in mind. All I knew was I needed to get Ben to chase me and give Evangeline and Nick enough time to escape. I promise, Holly. But please don't... A second, familiar growl sounded, and relief rushed through me. Adam! The huge black dog burst into sight at the mouth of the alley, and my heart slammed against my ribs so hard I thought it might become permanently bruised. He surged forward and used his body as a barrier between us and Ben. I pushed to my feet and looked at Ben again. His body was still mid-change, his hands and feet transformed into huge paws. Judging by the size of them, when he was fully wolf, he would be tough even for Adam to take on by himself. What in the other world were we supposed to do? Civilized werewolves had a plan, a place to change where they wouldn't hurt anyone. They'd go into the mountains, or lock themselves in a cement-encased room. Even if Adam could win the fight with Ben, what would we do then? He couldn't kill him. He wasn't some animal. He was a person. Our one-time friend. Ben's eyes locked onto Adam, and he snarled. Long, 3-inch canines peeked out from his dripping jowls. Adam replied with his own low, menacing growl. Were they communicating? Boots raced around Adam and burrowed into Nick. Evangeline, go! Get him to the manor! Tell Lacey what's happening!
Call Agent Bramble. Wake up the whole SPA. Tell them there's a werewolf on the loose and that Sasha Pringle is behind it. Without waiting for her to agree, I raised my hand and sent another blasting spell into Ben's side. He slammed back into the wall, stunned for a moment. Evangeline hauled Nick to his feet as gently as she could and led him from the alley. "Boots, go with them," I said, as his amber eyes swiveled up at me. He hesitated. "Go!" The spell wore off too quickly. My magic was dwindling. Every spell was harder to bring forth. It was like digging for water at the bottom of a near-empty well. I was getting less and less with each scoop. I couldn't hold out much longer. If I pushed things too far, I'd end up collapsing, turning myself into a liability instead of an asset. Ben pushed up to his feet and stood fully. He swiped a large paw at Adam, who reeled back and then lunged forward. Loud sirens sounded in the background, and I realized all the commotion had likely woken up half of Beechwood Harbor. Panic seized me, and I sagged back against the brick wall. My breathing was ragged and frantic, coming in like wheezes. Adam stood on his own hind legs and pressed Ben against the wall. He growled low and looked over his hulking shoulder at me. "What are we going to do with him? We can't let him loose. There are way too many humans around," I asked, my voice frantic. Adam couldn't speak in beast form. He kept him pinned against the wall and stared at me. He'd be no match for him once Ben fully changed. We had to hurry. "We're going to have to lock him up somewhere," I racked my brain. But where? The manor didn't have a basement. The greenhouse was too easy to break out of. None of the bedrooms would hold him. Ben's eyes flashed again. There was something different about it this time. It wasn't the urge to hunt. Or anger. It was fear. Panic flared inside me, rising quickly and then bursting like a firework. My whole body trembled from the effect. I ground my teeth together to keep them from chattering and turned to Adam. Before I could get out another word, the reason behind the fear in Ben's eyes became clear. A cold chill snapped at my bare legs. Then a burst of green flashed. I closed my eyes against the bright light, and when I opened them again, Sasha Pringle was standing at the mouth of the alley. Chapter 23.
"There you are."
Sasha's voice raked over my skin like a thousand pins digging in all at once.
"And it looks like you've made some friends," she added, her voice cold. "Good dog."
Ben lowered his head. An almost reverent gesture. Sasha snapped her fingers and blasted Adam away from Ben. The wolf loped forward to stand at Sasha's side. Adam rallied and leaped forward, propelling himself off his massive haunches. He bared his teeth at Sasha, a crazy look in his dark eyes. Sasha laughed.
"Nice try, mutt."
With a casual flick of her wrist, a blast of light surged from her palm and slammed into Adam. He hit the brick wall with a yelp and crumpled to the ground, whimpering. "Adam!" I lunged forward, only to be swept aside by a powerful whip of a spell. I gasped at the impact and fell backward. Ben cowered at his mistress's feet, fully wolf. Standing tall, he would have reached her hip, but with his posture tucked, he was only half that size. What kind of hold did she have over him?
"See, Holly, if you're going to run with dogs, you have to teach them to respect you,"
Sasha said, with a twisted smile as she looked over at Adam's limp body.
"I'll let you in on a little secret. It's easier if they fear you."
Every fiber of my being was urging me to go to Adam's side, but I knew there was no way Sasha would let me get close. I didn't even know if he was breathing, but I didn't dare take my eyes off Sasha. Magic danced on her palm as she watched me. My own fingertips felt like they were on fire, every drop of my remaining magic pooling rapidly. I wouldn't get more than one final shot. I'd used too much of it fighting Ben. The sirens in the background were growing louder. The police station wasn't far from where we stood,
It would be mere seconds before the police, the human police, were in the line of Sasha's wrath. She cocked her head at the sound.
And here I thought we might have a private chat.
You need to go, Sasha. I won't let you hurt anyone tonight. She laughed.
I'm not done with you, Holly Bolt. But you're right. I don't need humans mucking up my plans.
She raised her hands and a green shield surrounded us. For a moment I thought it was a ward or some kind of cloak. But then a blast of heat seared through me. My eyes squeezed tight against the pane. Then in a flash, it was gone. When I pried my eyes open, everything was different. Sasha and Ben were there, their postures unchanged. But we were no longer in the middle of Beechwood Harbor. And Adam was nowhere to be seen. I could only hope Evangeline had found them before the human police did, and that they were both alive. We were surrounded by trees, and it didn't take me long to realize we were in the woods behind the manor. Deep in the woods. Far enough away that I couldn't even see the lights from the house. My heart pounded in my ears as a new, disparaging fear gripped me. What kind of magic had she used? It was unlike anything I'd seen, or even heard of, before. The shimmering green light sparkled out, leaving only the light from the half-moon and the scattering of stars peeking through the treetops. Sasha looked even more terrifying with her face bathed in starlight. Ben whimpered, and she kicked him. He yelped and sunk lower to the ground, nearly on his belly. "Why do you need a werewolf?" I asked, snapping my eyes to hers. "What do you want with Ben? He obviously doesn't want to be anywhere near you."
"Ben here owes me a debt," she replied, with a disdainful look down at the lowly wolf. "Isn't that right?"
Ben didn't move, or even lift his eyes.
"See, he got into some trouble with a few of my friends, so I cursed him. Once he's paid his debt, I'll release him from the curse. Simple as that."
"You cursed him into changing mid-moon?" I spat, trying not to let my jaw hit the ground. Sasha laughed, as though it wasn't a serious question. As though dynamically changing the effect of an ancient curse was mere child's play, something first-year academy students could perform with their eyes closed.
"As long as he's in my debt, he will continue to change whenever I see fit. If he keeps me happy and does what I ask, we don't have any problems."
"Until tonight," I said, with a triumphant grin. "He got away from you." Sasha tilted her head.
"Yes, and he will pay for that slip in judgment. Maybe I'll leave him this way forever."
Ben whined.
"What were you thinking?" she asked the wolf. "You thought she was your best shot?"
Sasha threw her head back and laughed as though it were the funniest joke in the world. A shiver threaded down my spine as the moonlight glinted off her fangs. So it was true. She was half witch and half vampire. If Harvey knew, or at least strongly suspected the truth, why hadn't he had her investigated? Surely he would have uncovered the ties to the Vampire Council. How had she managed to be on the council for my hearing? Was that why he'd left? He hadn't expected her to be there? Sasha took a calculated step closer, her mouth twisted into a wicked grin.
"See, what Ben didn't realize is that the reason I had him spying on you wasn't because I was worried about you being a threat. Instead, it was a way for me to plot out the best moment to get rid of you. Just like I did with your little goblin friend, Harvey."
She laughed again.
"This isn't ideal timing, but it'll have to do. I suppose I'll have to make sure there isn't enough of you left over for the SPA to find, since I don't have time to find some stooge to glamour into doing the dirty work for me."
My eyes widened. "You glamoured Dune Casey into poisoning Harvey."
"Aren't you a clever little witch?" she said sarcastically. "If only you hadn't wasted so much time chasing after Praxel and Mache."
My heart sank, realizing my mistake. Sasha threw her head back and laughed again.
"Honestly, what were you thinking? Those two combined barely have an IQ high enough to keep their own scheme running, let alone plot a murder."
So they were in cahoots. Just not on this.
"You're smarter than most, I suppose. At least you made the connection.
She cocked her hip and considered me.
Maybe you'd be of better use to me alive.
She looked down at Ben.
What do you think? You need a partner? Or would you rather have a chew toy?
If you think I'd do anything to help you after what you did to Harvey, then you're the stupid one, I exclaimed, disgusted. You killed him just because he discovered what you are.
What I am is the most powerful witch you've ever met.
Sasha's eyes flashed. A stream of light flung from her hands and whipped at my shins.
Have some respect, Holly. I'm trying to offer you a way out.
Magic tingled along my palms. I called for more, dug deeper and deeper. I'd get one shot. I had to make it count.
See, Holly, I wasn't going to kill you at first. I just wanted to keep you out of my way. But you proved to be more of a nuisance than I expected. When Ben reported that you were digging into the investigation and throwing around wild claims about Miche and Praxel, I knew you weren't going to drop it and had to take matters into my own hands.
I looked at Ben, still cowering at her feet. A flash of a memory surged back to me. The request for more hand salve. What about the day Evangeline and I told Lucy everything that was going on? Had he heard everything from behind the curtain? He didn't look me in the eye. How did you know Harvey would leave my hearing? How did Dune know to follow him when he was supposed to be in Council Hall?
I had Ben call Harvey that day you were in court. He lured him into Seattle. From Ben's surveillance, I knew he got a coffee whenever he passed through the portal at that human-infested coffee shop. All Dune had to do was slip him the potion.
From there, he'd gotten into a cab. And by the time the potion went to work, the driver abandoned the cab in that alleyway. The SPA hadn't yet found the driver, the only witness to Harvey's final moments. Sasha gave me a knowing smile.
It didn't take much to convince Dune. He was already more than willing to attack Harvey. All I did was facilitate the when and how of it all. And sure, maybe gave him a little nudge.
I reared back at the coldness in her voice. She found my expression amusing.
With Harvey out of my way, my secret would remain safe, and I could convince my fellow council members to release my mother without exposing who she was.
What? You were going to glamour all the other members? She gave a slight shrug.
It worked in your hearing, didn't it?
My mouth dropped open as the final pieces of the puzzle clicked into place, and the rage gave me a little extra boost of power. I dragged up as much magic as I possibly could, and even with the boost, I'd never felt so drained before. Sasha caught the glint of magic as it surged to the surface. She grinned.
You think you can win this fight, Holly? Maybe you're not as smart as Harvey thought.
I threw my hands forward, aiming right for the sneer on her face. The blast of magic ripped from me, and I stumbled forward at the effort. Every drop flew towards Sasha. She took a step to the side, but at the last second, Ben lunged up and pushed her directly into the path. Sasha was thrust into the spell like a rag doll. Surprise registered on her face, just as it hit her full blast. She froze in place for a few silent seconds, shock etched on her face, and then crumpled to the ground. Ben yelped as the magical blast grazed him, and he fell beside her. The world went sideways, and I dropped to my knees in the cold, wet grass. I dug my fingers into the ground, desperate for something to hold on to. A loud screech pierced the sky. Hope surged inside me, and I looked up, expecting to see Evangeline's familiar Flurry, a hawk, sent to find me. He could lead me back to the manor. When I looked up, my heart sank. The dark shadow against the moon wasn't Flurry. This bird was three times as big, the sharp talons extending in a menacing gesture. Was this Sasha's familiar? It certainly fit. My magic was depleted, completely dried up. I wouldn't have been able to light a pile of fresh kindling if my life depended on it. With my options limited, I tried to get to my feet and lurched for cover behind a tree. The eagle's sharp eyes locked with mine right before it dive-bombed. I screamed and instinctively tried to avoid it. only to realize half a heartbeat later who it was, and that the massive bird was on my side. It veered past me and landed on the ground.
Agent Bramble!
She stood before me, fully shifted back into her human form. Apparently, and thankfully, she had mastered the ability to shift with her clothing intact, as not a single wrinkle or loose thread was evident on her houndstooth suit. It suddenly dawned on me who she reminded me of. Posey. She was a living, breathing incarnation of Posey. Granted, a fiercer kicking butt and taking names version, but the resemblance was definitely there. Agent Bramble raced forward, her eyes sweeping over the scene, not missing a detail. She rounded on me after ensuring that Sasha and Ben were down.
Your friend called me. She said there was a werewolf in Beechwood Harbor. I flew here as fast as I could, and when I was nearing Beechwood Harbor, I saw a flash of green. What happened here?
I sagged against the tree, drained of every ounce of energy. It barely managed to meet her eyes. Bramble gave me some space while she made a series of phone calls. When backup was on the way, she inspected the bodies.
They're both still breathing, she said.
I breathed deeply, somehow relieved. It hadn't been my intention to kill either of them, but the blast had been furious, and from the way they landed, I hadn't been sure. My mind reeled back to the way Adam's form had looked in the alleyway.
Agent Bramble?
I called as loudly as I could, still only managing a puff of a whisper.
Adam? Your roommate, Evangeline, said he was attacked, but he's unharmed.
Relief washed over me, and I sank into blessed darkness. When I awoke, the scene before me was crawling with SPA agents. Agent Bramble hovered nearby and was the first to notice I was awake. I moved stiffly, but at least I'd regained a little energy.
Stay there, Holly. You need to rest.
She squatted beside me.
Can you tell me step by step exactly what happened?
I nodded, and then licked my lips, ready to purge the events of the horrible night. When I finished recounting the details of the evening, she looked at me, a combination of sympathy and admiration etched on her face.
You've had quite a night.
She asked few questions, but took diligent notes throughout my recounting. She closed her notebook and frowned at me.
I'm sorry for what you've gone through tonight, Holly.
Truly.
Is there anything I can do to help?
I just want to go home.
She smiled wanly.
That I can do.
Chapter 24. Bone-tired and freezing cold, I practically fell through the front door of the manor. Lacey shot up from her place on the couch beside Nick. He lay curled in a tight ball, and though his lips moved, he didn't open his eyes. Her grave expression answered the question on my lips before I could ask it.
Any changes?
She shook her head.
He's still out. Thanks for staying with him, I told her.
Sure. She looked back down at Nick.
Do you think he'll be okay?
I shrugged helplessly. I didn't have an answer for her.
Where is everyone else?
I asked.
Adam and Evangeline.
They went back out looking for you.
Adam's out searching. Evangeline and Teddy took her car.
I think they said something about Seattle.
My eyes slid shut.
How long ago?
20 minutes, maybe. They stayed to take care of Nick first. Evangeline cleaned the wound and bandaged him up before she gave him one of your teas. I assume it was to help him sleep.
Let's hope she got the dose right this time,
I said with a faint smile.
I'll call Adam.
I slipped into the kitchen and dialed Evangeline's phone. She answered with a frantic hello on the first ring. I told her I was back at the manor, and after assuring her half a dozen times I was all right, she said she and Teddy would turn around at the next exit and head home. They'd been heading toward Seattle. After hanging up, I went to the back porch and yelled for Adam, hoping he would hear me and come back to the manor. When he didn't appear, I went back to the living room to check on Nick. Posey hovered nervously over Nick.
I'm so sorry, dear. I'm glad you're all right, though.
Thank you.
I stared at Nick as Lacey pulled a blanket over him.
Will he have the curse?
I finally dared to ask. Lacey was the one who answered,
He's no longer human. My heart sank at the finality of both her words and tone. She was right. There was no point in arguing or holding out hope that somehow the inevitable might be prevented. I'd seen the gashes across Nick's chest. They were made from claws. No doubt about it. And while my werewolf knowledge was limited, any witch or wizard who had been even partially awake during Academy would know that all it took to pass the curse from a were to a human were scratches or a bite during the change. Nick would live, but his life would never be the same. Adam arrived home at the same time Evangeline and Teddy pulled back in the driveway along the side of the manor. He raced inside, threw a blanket around his waist, and clutched me tightly against his chest. His expression was a tangled mess of rage and relief. Tears streamed down my face when I realized how scared he'd been. "I'm sorry, Adam," I finally whispered.
"You can't do that ever again, Holly," he said, his voice tense. "Chasing after a werewolf in the middle of the night? It was stupid. I didn't know what else to do, though." He held me tighter. "I can't lose you, gorgeous," he said into my hair. I met his eyes.
"Adam." My throat swelled, choking out the rest. He kissed me, and then took my hand and led me into the kitchen, where Evangeline was waiting, a fresh pot of coffee nearly finished brewing. It was going to be a long night. After I'd explained everything that had happened following my jump with Sasha, we rejoined Lacey and Posey in the living room. It took a few hours for Nick to wake up, but when he finally started to come around, we moved him to the sitting room off the foyer. If needed, it would be easier to keep him contained, as the sitting room had heavy wooden doors that could be locked. Of course, a werewolf in full change could eventually bust through them or dive out one of the picture windows lining the room. However, short of chaining him up in the attic, it was the best option we had. When Nick opened his eyes, I was sitting at his side. His eyes fluttered a few times, and then went wide, his pupils turning to tiny specks. When his pinpoint pupils found me, a flicker of relief washed over his face. "Holly," he said, slightly dazed. "You're okay, Nick," I started. His forehead was damp with sweat. I motioned to Evangeline and quietly asked if she could bring a cloth, and she slipped from the room.
"What happened?" Nick asked me.
His eyes never wavered, even to where Adam stood, hovering behind me. The bright blue orb stayed locked on my face, unblinking. Desperation rolled from him in near palpable waves. He knew something was horribly, horribly wrong, and he was waiting for me to tell him he was right. He was silently pleading with me to tell him the truth, something I should have done a long time ago, no matter how awful. I wondered if it was similar to how military nurses and doctors felt, working on the freshly wounded straight off the battlefield. How did they do it? How did they look into those wide-eyed faces and tell them the worst? I drew in a silent breath. "Do you remember anything from last night?"
"I came to see you. It was late. Maybe close to midnight. I couldn't sleep, so I got dressed and went for a walk. Sometimes a long walk gets me tired enough that I don't have the strange dreams. I didn't really intend to come see you, but I wound up at the manor. I thought maybe someone would be awake, but the lights were all turned off. I turned around to go home."
I cringed, wishing I'd been awake. If he'd been safely inside the manor, then he wouldn't have the marred wounds on his chest.
"I don't know what happened after that. Or, at least,"
he paused and looked up at me.
"The things I remember don't make sense."
"Nick, there's so much I have to say, I don't know where to start." I trailed off and slowly shook my head. Nick reached out and took my hand. I met his pleading eyes.
"Holly, just tell me the truth. Am I losing my mind, or is something weird going on? I trust you, Holly, with my friendship, my life. Please, just tell me the truth."
Tears pooled in the corners of my eyes.
I had no idea what or how to explain it all to Nick, but I had promised myself I wouldn't cry. I sniffed and blinked quickly to clear them away before they could fall. Adam squeezed my shoulder and then left the room, closing the door behind him. I shifted my focus back to Nick, and with a quick nod, I started the tale. You're not going crazy. Something unreadable passed through Nick's eyes, and in that moment I had no idea what he hoped the answer would be. Had he wanted me to tell him he was losing his mind? Would that have been an easier pill to swallow? Perhaps. But it wasn't the one he could have. Not anymore. Nick, I'm a witch. A real witch. His mouth moved, but no sounds came out. Finally, he squeezed his eyes shut, gave his head a shake, and then tried again.
Like Harry Potter or something?
I laughed softly. Something like that? It took close to 2 hours to explain everything. The Haven system, different types of supernaturals, and what had actually happened the night of the SPA raid on Raven. He asked a lot of questions along the way, and when the crash course in all things supernatural came to an end, he shifted his eyes to the coffered ceiling of the living room and tried to absorb it all. I sat with him, not saying a word, until he finally turned to look at me.
Does everyone else know?
Here in the manor? He nodded. Right. I'd given a crash course on Supernatural Creatures 101, but had left out the multitude of them in Beechwood Harbor. Nick tried to sit up, but grimaced and sank back down.
Is everyone in Beechwood magic? Am I in some weird Twilight Zone? Of all the cities.
I cringed. Not everyone in Beechwood, no, but in this house, yes.
Evangeline?
She's a witch, yes.
Lacey?
Vamp. His eyes went wide.
Adam?
Shifter. He blinked twice.
Who else? Cassie? Chief?
No, and no. I shook my head. Let's see, there's Lucy at the spa. She's a telepath.
She can read minds?
Not anymore, I answered. She's medicated. Nick's eyebrows rose another half an inch. I was worried he was creating permanent wrinkles in his forehead. Oh, right, I forgot that part. I'm a potions witch. That's my specialty. I used to sell my potions all over town, in fact. Nick gave his head a shake. I wondered if he hoped his mind was like an etch-a-sketch so he could shake it and clear away all the disturbing information I'd dumped on him. I inclined my head. There's one more thing, I said, bracing myself. He gave a crooked smile.
I'm not sure how much more I can process.
I understand. I chewed on my lower lip for a moment, wondering if I should insist or let him have some time to sort out what he already knew. I had no idea what would happen to him. I'd never known a werewolf right after he'd been cursed. Would there be immediate physical changes, or would Nick remain normal until the full moon? Should I lock him in a room just to be safe? Finally, I broke my silence. I know this is a lot, but I really don't think this can wait.
Okay.
I sighed. Nick, last night you were attacked. He looked down at his bare chest, at the large bandage Evangeline had applied after I'd treated the wound with a healing salve that I'd mixed up fresh. Haven rules be damned.
Well, I didn't figure this was a new fashion trend, he said with a grimace.
When you were walking home last night, you drew some unwanted attention from a werewolf. I lowered my eyes to the bandage. A flicker of pain flared in my chest. I would have given everything I owned to take the scratches away, to make the nightmare end. He's the one who gave you that wound. I couldn't make myself say the words, but Nick's face morphed from confusion to pure terror. He threw the blanket off from his waist and jumped up from the couch. He yelped at the pain but didn't stop moving. He tore across the room in 3 wide bounds. Nick! I hurried to his side, but he threw an arm up, blocking me from touching him. The tears I'd tried to keep away came hot and fast at the twisted pain and fear on his face. "It's going to be okay," I forced myself to say through the sobs. "We're going to fix it."
"How?"
he demanded, his voice booming through the entire manor. I blinked, surprised by the power.
"I'm a monster now," he spat. "You just said as much."
Adam pushed back into the room, his posture that of a riled dog. "What's going on?" His dark, almost black eyes shot from me to Nick, and then back to me. Nick rounded on Adam, and for a heart-stopping moment I thought that they were going to tear into one another right then and there. I moved to stand between them. I placed a hand on Adam's chest, surprised to feel the panicked thudding of his heart beating against my palm. "It's okay. I'm fine. We're fine."
"Like hell," Nick bit out. "She just told me I'm some kind of beast."
Recognition flickered in Adam's eyes. He rolled his shoulders back and drew in a slow breath.
"I'm sorry, Nick."
Nick looked up, surprised.
"Save your pity, dog."
My mouth dropped open. Adam reached for my arm and dragged me back a step.
"Alls, let's leave him alone for a minute. Give him some breathing room."
I started to argue, but then followed Adam's unblinking gaze back to Nick. His posture hadn't relaxed. He looked ready to battle with anyone who got close enough. Was this the curse? Was he going to change right there in the sitting room? For one insane moment, my eyes snapped to the heirloom pieces Posey had arranged through the space. She was going to lose her mind if one thing got damaged, and if Nick went full wear, there wouldn't be a stick of furniture left in one piece when he was done. "Adam, we can't..." He pulled me with more force.
"Now, Holly."
I twisted out of his grip and went to Nick. Adam lunged for me, but I stepped out of the way at the last moment, and he stumbled forward. With a snarl, he snapped out and grabbed my arm.
"Holly, it isn't safe."
Nick's eyes had gone ice blue. They shot from Adam to mine, and then something changed. They flickered, and changed back into the darker blue I was used to.
"Ollie,"
he said, his voice shaky. He stumbled back toward the couch and collapsed on it.
"What? What's happening to me?"
He looked at Adam, who released my arm.
"Adam, I don't know why I said that to you. I'm so sorry."
My heart twisted in my chest when a sob tore from Nick. He buried his face in his hands, taking an extra beat to look at them, as though worried they'd turn into paws right before his eyes. I craned around and looked up at Adam. His face was an unreadable mix of emotions, shock, fear, anger, sadness, pity. They all flickered across his face as he watched Nick come undone. I sat beside Nick on the couch and wrapped an arm tenderly around his bare shoulders. He turned into me and cried into my neck.
"Ollie, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I would never hurt you."
I nodded and made a soothing sound of agreement. "I know, Nick. I know." But when I lifted my eyes to Adam, I saw the same thought reflected back at me. "Yes, you would." Chapter 25. It took some time, but eventually Nick succumbed to sleep. In all of the action, he'd managed to reopen his wounds, and the bandage on his chest was soaked with fresh blood. Evangeline came in once things died down, and applied more of the healing salve and redressed the deep gashes. He'd thanked her, and then accepted a second dose of my sleeping potion. Minutes later, his eyes slid closed, and his breathing leveled out. Adam refused to leave my side the rest of the night, and the last thing I remembered was watching him as he sat on the floor beside my chair, his eyes trained on Nick. Even when I reached out and brushed his shoulder, he refused to look away. Aggressive energy poured from him. I didn't want to fall asleep and risk waking up to the two of them going at each other's throats. I hated the thought. The idea that someday there might come a point where I had to make the choice between saving myself or someone else and sacrificing the life of one of my dearest friends. It was too ugly to even dwell on for more than a few seconds. In the end, my eyes were too heavy, and I couldn't force them to stay open another minute. The next day I woke up in the chair beside the couch and found Nick still sleeping soundly. Adam looked over at me.
"You're still awake?" I whispered.
"I had to make sure," was all he said.
"It has to be safe now," I replied softly.
"The sun's up. Come on."
Adam looked at Nick once more and then pushed off the floor. He moved gingerly, and I imagined his muscles were strained and sore from the fight with Ben the night before. In a way, it all seemed far away, like a horrible dream. But when I started to move, my own body reminded me that it wasn't. My legs cried out as I untucked them and stood. I stretched, cringing with each kink in my back and neck.
"Gorgeous, I'm getting too old for this badass routine," Adam said once we were in the hallway.
I closed the door to the sitting room and smiled up at him.
"You always say that."
He chuckled and looped an arm around my waist.
"You think Nick's going to be okay?"
I sighed heavily.
"We're going to help him."
Adam gave a solemn nod. Evangeline, Teddy, Lacey, and Posey were all gathered around the table when we pushed into the kitchen. They all looked up when we entered, a single question etched on their faces.
"He's still asleep," I said.
Adam gestured for me to take a seat while he went across the kitchen to pour two mugs of coffee. He set a mug in front of me and then took the chair beside me. No one knew what to say, not even enough to attempt small talk. The heaviness of the night before hung thick in the air and sucked all the normal levity from our morning routine. Lacey was the first to leave. It was past her normal bedtime. She wished us all well on our way out. You know things are bad when Lacey is overly polite. Moments later, a knock on the front door interrupted the mostly silent meal. Adam got up to answer it and came back to the kitchen a minute later. He held the door open.
"Ollie, someone to see you."
Agent Bramble appeared in the doorway. Adam waved her through and then left, Evangeline and Posey following him.
"Would you like some coffee?"
I asked her once the door swung shut.
"Sure, black, please. I don't do anything fancy in my coffee."
Why didn't that surprise me? I poured her a mug and sat back down once she was seated.
"I want to thank you again for coming to my rescue last night, Agent Bramble."
"Just doing my job, Holly."
"Well, thank you anyway."
"In some ways, I should be thanking you."
She turned the coffee mug in her hands.
"Without your help, Doon Casey would have likely taken the fall for a terrible crime he didn't commit. Not to mention Sasha Pringle would still be sitting on the council. There's no telling how much damage she may have done in the course of her career."
"What will happen to her?"
"She's in SBA custody and will remain there until a formal trial. You will likely be called to testify as to the events of last night. Her lackey, Benjamin, has already agreed to testify in exchange for protection. It appears he was acting under her control when his crimes were committed and is not being held responsible."
I nodded. I still had mixed feelings about Ben, especially considering the permanent scars his actions would have on Nick's life. But I wasn't going to push the issue. As long as I never had to see him again, I didn't really care what they did with him.
"What about Agent Mache and Bill Praxel?"
Agent Bramble frowned as she took a sip of coffee.
"That's stickier. I've documented your testimony on the matter, but there will have to be a formal investigation. As to Mr. Praxel's current counsel hearing, the council members will be advised of the new investigation and made aware that any attempts at SPA interference are unacceptable."
I frowned. I wasn't sure that would do much good. It was impossible to say how many council members resided in the pocket of either Mache or Praxel. But that was someone else's battle. I was taking myself out of the game. My only intention had been to get justice for Harvey. I'd done that, and was ready to move on, even if I still hadn't managed to figure out what my future would look like. The immediate future was clear: taking care of Nick, and making sure he survived the transition to his new life as a werewolf. As if sensing my thoughts, Agent Bramble raised the topic.
"The man who was wounded by the werewolf, he's a friend of yours?"
I nodded, unsure whether I should volunteer that he was only a few rooms away.
"He will need to fill out some paperwork with the SPA. Can I count on you to walk him through that process?"
"Yes. I've already explained the basics to him. I'll bring him to headquarters when it's time."
"Thank you."
We sipped our coffee, and when Agent Bramble finished hers, she took the mug to the sink and rinsed it out. I smiled after her, wondering if she was even fully aware of what she was doing, or if the habit was so ingrained she did it without thinking.
Before I go, there's one more thing.
She turned back toward me, crossed the kitchen, and reached into the bag she'd hung on the back of her chair. She flipped through what sounded like a stack of paperwork, and then pulled out a single sheet. She kept it face down, against her body for a moment.
Your petition to receive your potions master license has been approved.
My what?
Harriet found paperwork in Harvey's case notes that states his desire for you to receive your license and be allowed to live within Haven society. These notes are quite old. It appears that was always his intention for you. In honor of his memory, the SPA has worked with the Haven Council to grant this as something of a final request.
She turned the paper over. And there, embossed in dark whirls of ink, was the thing I'd been waiting for all my life. Tears sprang to the corners of my eyes as they poured over the lines and lettering. My fingers shook as I reached for the glossy certificate.
Is this real?
She inclined her head and offered a soft smile.
You are officially free to live whatever life you choose, Holly.
My advice?
Choose wisely.
Nearly 3 weeks passed before Nick was willing to talk about what had happened in that alley. He stayed with us at the manor for a few days, spending most of that time asleep. One morning he came to breakfast with the rest of us as we prepared to start our days and announced he was going home. He thanked us for all of our help, and then he was gone. Adam advised me to give him space, but I couldn't bear the thought of leaving him alone. So instead I visited him every few days, usually for only a few minutes, always armed with his favorite espresso drink and a handful of day-old leftovers from the coffee shop. I didn't needle him into talking about the attack. I didn't know where to start. There wasn't exactly an etiquette guide for talking to newly cursed wares. Perhaps someone should write one. Approaching baby werewolves and other tricky paranormal problems. He'd been friendly, although a little less so than before the attack. He was present physically, smiled and nodded on cue, but it was clear his mind was somewhere else entirely. One night, I went to see him after my shift with a bag of muffins in one hand and a mocha in the other. When I arrived at his office, I found the door locked. No lights on behind the frosted glass. With a sad sigh, I turned and left. When I arrived back at the manor, I was surprised to find him waiting on the front steps. His face was downcast, filled with shadows cast from the soft lights surrounding the wraparound porch.
Nick? I said softly. I took careful steps up the walk, as though I would spook him if I moved faster.
What are you doing here? He looked up and tried a smile. It didn't quite reach his eyes.
Work was slow today, so I closed up early. Wandered around town for a little while and somehow wound up here. I'm not even really sure why. Apparently this place is some kind of homing beacon for me.
I smiled gently and took my place beside him on the porch.
Well, I was going to palm these goodies off on Adam, but what he doesn't know won't hurt him.
I handed him the mocha and placed the bag of muffins between us on the steps.
Thanks, Ollie. You really don't have to keep this up.
I frowned. I'm not keeping anything up. You're my friend, and I like doing things that make you happy. He gave a small nod and sipped at the drink.
Well, thank you. I probably don't say it enough, but I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
We fell into a comfortable silence. After a few moments, I dug into the bag and selected the top muffin. It didn't matter which flavor it was, I liked them all. I peeled back the wrapper and a burst of blueberry and lemon tickled my nose.
Is there no one home? I asked, peering over my shoulder to look up at the manor.
The lights were on, but they usually were. Posey said just because she was a ghost didn't mean she wanted to be left in the dark when we were all out for the evening. Ironic, because she often barricaded herself in the attic where there wasn't much more than a single bare light bulb that was never turned on as far as I knew.
I'm not sure.
Nick answered. I didn't knock. I got here and just needed a minute to think, I guess. I nodded as if I understood, although I wasn't sure I did, at least not fully. How are you doing with everything? He released a breath of a laugh.
The million-dollar